the Ruin Dits catch-up for the Hospital Research Home Lottery. $2.9 million grand prize. Visit homelottery.com.au.
104.7 Triple M.
Ruin Dits for breakfast.
Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome...
Lehman.
Lehman!
I'm Anthony Lehman. Oh, hey. Lehman.
Hey, I tell you what, guys. Good to be with you early, because you can swear as much as you want at this time, can't you? Is that right?
Absolutely.
Go for it. Oh, yeah, beauty.
Don't let it stop you, mate. Hey, did you see Bob Catter yesterday in his press?
Oh, mate, Bob Catter, he is completely unhinged, that bloke. I tell you. So, for people who are trying to follow this story, Fraser Anning, who's in Bob Catter's party, made his maiden speech to Parliament, and every single Australian has basically condemned it afterwards. It essentially called for an end to Muslim immigration in Australia. Anyway, Bob Catter came out yesterday in full support of Fraser Anning. Two things I want to say about Bob Catter's press conference yesterday. One, he was telling a story about someone, a Muslim guy he claimed attacked someone, and he was trying to say the guy yelled Ali Akbar, but he didn't say that. What he said was the guy yelled Ali-oop Akbar.
Now,
is that a terrorist basketball move? I'm not sure.
Sounds like a cross between it.
Alley-oop back bar. Look out. Here comes a terrorist slam. It is indeed. And he also said at one point, he's talking about Fraser Anning, talking about how smart he is. And Bob Catter actually said, hey, he once built his own plane. He's not stupid.
Build now, his own aeroplane.
Building your own plane.
Was it a paper plane or?
Building your own plane has got to be the stupidest thing an individual could possibly do.
Unless you got a surname called Boeing or something like that.
Exactly.
Oh, Ansett.
Unless your surname Boeing or Ansett, don't build your own plane. No. That's the stupidest thing you could do aside from your own dental work.
Yeah. Oh, come on, Bob. Hey, he is nuts. Hey, who you got on the beep test this Sunday, Lemo? You've been on fire lately.
Roo, thank you. Fox Footy Sunday night after the bounce. Dave Thornton, Lawrence Mooney and myself. We've got Damien Callinan and John Howard, not the ex-prime minister, the actor,
right,
are on the show. And they're pumping up Damien Callinan's new movie called The Merger. And it's about a country footy team called the Bodgy Creek Roosters.
The Bodgy Creek Roosters.
The Bodgy Creek Roosters. It's a great film. And just watching the film reminded me of country footy and the joy of country footy. How good was country footy, bro?
It still is. The full forward at Waker kicked 100 goals, kicked 17-11 on the weekend. He's kicked 100 goals for the second year in a row.
17-11. Yeah, 28 shots at goal.
Yeah, played against Barmer and Monash.
There we go. And let me have a guess, Roo. He's about 35 stone and never left the goal square.
He is 6'8" and he had the shotgun of 17 cans, one for every goal afterwards.
This is what I love about country footy. I've got great memories down at Brownswell in the Murray Mallee there. Peruta was our town. At three-quarter time, the trainers, they wouldn't take out oranges. They used to take out ashtrays.
Half-time? What, three-quarter time?
Three-quarter time. Mate, this is a true story. I still remember, I have a clear memory of one of our players running out at half-time back onto the ground, still smoking a dart.
So, it's not three-quarter time, it's smoko.
We're having a break.
That used to happen in league footy, Lemo. Yeah. SNFL footy people used to smoke at half-time.
Did you ever see someone sneak out a cheeky dart at half-time playing AFL?
No, I can't say that ever happened. I can still remember as a kid going into the Wakery change rooms and the fullback had a dart at half-time every time. So that was just commonplace.
See, it's a joy. Tooting of the horns when goals go through. And it was always a rookie mistake to park behind the goals because you'd lose your bloody aerial by the end.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. You've got to protect your car if you park there. If you're stupid enough to get there late, you got to man your car.
You're a bloody goose. The other great thing I remember is that everyone in the town played. Like, you had no excuse. We had a school teacher came once. He was from England. Came, didn't know the first thing about footy. We said, you've got to play. He says, I can't. We said, it doesn't matter. You've got to play.
You can still play B grade.
And he looked, and the funny thing is, they force him into playing. He's terrible. And then they give him shit all night about being terrible.
Gee, you're hopeless. You're not very coordinated.
Get a kick, you idiot.
God, your skin's white.
And because he was from England, his nickname was Pom.
Imagine.
Oh, there is some funny thing. We had a bloke who was that hopeless. They got him out there at Wakery Limo, and he was the warm up runner. You used to run a lap of the square, and he was perving on this bird on the boundary line, and he tripped over in the warm up and did his shoulder. Perving on a girl on the boundary line.
Oh,
I can still remember.
We had another one, a local farmer who lived closest to the ground, used to look after the oval, like mow the oval.
Mm.
And they decided they'd try and save a couple of bucks on fuel and do a little double, kill two birds with one stone. So he got all his sheep and he moved them onto the ground. He figured the sheep would eat the grass. What he didn't think about is the fact the sheep actually do poo.
Oh, no.
So the ground was covered in dirt.
Well fertilised.
Yeah, that didn't go down well.
Hey, good on you, Levo. Thanks for joining us. We'll talk next week.
Good on you. Thanks, guys.
See you, Levo.
There he is, the one and only Levo. Ruined it's here on Triple M. Ruined it's here on Triple M.
Oh, it's a massive Powerball tonight in
you've
Australia.
You've been pestering us for the last few days, running around the building, getting everyone to invest in this syndicate.
But I don't think I'm going in it tonight.
Can we trust
you? No, you can't trust me. Yes, you can. Of course you can. But $100 million Powerball, and as we said at the start of the show, everyone who gets through this morning is going to win a free ticket in tonight's $100 million Powerball as well. So just brought back memories of a scene out of Dumb and Dumber, one of my favourite movies.
Not good.
You mean not good like 1 out of 100?
I'd say more like 1 out of 1,000,000.
So you're telling me there's a chance?
Yeah!
That was when Jim Carrey was trying to pick up a hot woman, and he was 1 in 1,000,000, so he's a chance. It's harder to win Powerball than that. It's 1 in 146 million chance to win tonight. But
we could be that one.
Someone's got to win it.
We could be that one.
Do you know, there was a story earlier in the year that whoever won it didn't come forward and collect it for 6 months.
55 million it was.
55 million. I've got a bit of mail that it's an ex-AFL footballer that has won that.
Oh, you're an ex-AFL footballer.
Yeah, it's not me.
It's not you.
It's not me. Otherwise, I wouldn't be here talking to you. Okay. 55 million. I'll just watch this space if this comes out in the next couple of weeks. It's just starting to filter out into life.
There's the old story. The question comes up. Would you go public? Would you tell people? Mm. Or do you keep it quiet? Well, because all of a sudden, everyone, they come out of the woodwork, don't they?
Auntie Betty and cousin Fred wants to catch up for a coffee because they haven't seen you for 5 years.
Yeah.
So that could come out. But we're talking about syndicates gone bad here, Dits, because, there's always syndicates in, Triple M. We're going to do a syndicate. Yeah.
Reason, Roo, can you put our ticket on the fridge here at work, please? Don't come in tomorrow and go, no, that one there's your ticket, but this one here, the winning one, that was mine. I did that one myself.
Yeah, exactly.
Don't give us that story.
Yeah, I haven't put it on yet, guys. The South Australians won the $100 million and hasn't come forward. Yeah. There's been a couple of dodgy ones around Australia over the last year or so, Dits.
People fall out over these things, don't they? We're reading a couple of stories here this morning about people that have taken the syndicate to court. One bloke had been paying in every week for a few years, and then work shifted him to the US. And 2 weeks after shifting to the US, his syndicate won.
Mm.
And they said, but you're not here anymore. You don't work with us anymore. You're now working in the US. And he's sued the syndicate, and he actually lost, by the way.
So he didn't get his lotto win.
Yeah.
And he's got court fees. Lawyer's fees. Yeah.
Over $1 million, of course. He took it. He wouldn't go away. He kept fighting it and kept fighting it, and it's cost him $1 million.
It's syndicates in cross lotto, syndicate like footy trips, groups of footballers. There's been some shocking stories about people overseeing the footy trip money.
Yes. When it comes to the end of season footy trip,
we're going to Vegas or what? Mm-hmm. Well, no, we haven't got
Victor
any money.
Harbour.
You know one about
Craig Phillips, absolute champion at Port Adelaide when he was at Collingwood, and it wasn't his fault. The whole playing group agreed, apparently.
This is when you're allowed to bet on footy.
Yeah, this is years ago, and the Collingwood players backed themselves to win the last game of the year. I think it was against Footscray.
Fitzroy, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was one, either Fitzroy or Footscray.
The bottom side.
Yeah.
And they just loaded the whole thing into it, like betting on Winks this weekend.
And with seconds to go, a player kicked a cross goal, which back in those days you just didn't do.
No, you never kicked a cross goal back
then. Kicked a cross goal and hit the opposing full forward right on the chest in the goal square, and he kicked the goal to win the game. And they lost the lot. Yeah, and the saying was they were going to the west coast of the USA and they ended up going to the west coast of South Australia.
What, Port Lincoln?
That's all they had left, yeah.
133353, give us a buzz with dodgy syndicate stories, whether it's in your family, whether it's at your footy club, whether it's anywhere in your business. Give us a buzz, 133353, dodgy syndicate stories. And if you've got a good story and you get through, you'll get a free Powerball ticket for $100 million tonight.
Ruined It's here on Triple M. 6:58, Ruined It's here on Triple M, talking about your bad syndicate experiences.
Yes, and we're giving away a Powerball ticket for tonight's $100 million jackpot for everybody who gets through. Let's go to Seaford. G'day, Jared.
How you going, guys?
Have you had a bad experience?
Yeah, this is a footy trip one.
Good.
We had four boys at the footy club organise the footy trip.
Yep.
At the last minute.
Where were you going to go?
We're going to go up the Riverland. At the last minute, the boys took the money and went to Thailand. The four boys did.
What, and ripped off the whole team?
Yeah, the rest of the boys missed out.
What club's this?
Up in the hills.
Wow, and have they ever been back?
No, they're not playing there anymore.
What, were they out of towners or something?
No, they were not quite local boys, but yeah, around the area.
Any locals sort any sort of even up the ledger?
No, but they haven't been back in the club room since.
Nor they should. That is very nasty behaviour. Yeah. Very dirty behaviour at a footy club. Let's go to Mount Torrens. G'day, Barry.
Yeah, g'day, guys. Really good. Ours is a bit of a footy tipping competition a couple of years ago.
Yeah.
I absolutely knew nothing about football and just happens to be he wanted to run it. We thought, yep, nice and mutual. So we put him in charge of it, and all of a sudden he's in it, and he's getting full totes every week. Found out on CCTV that he was putting his tips in on a Monday. Won the whole kit caboodle.
Come on, Barry. How dumb is this bloke?
On a Monday, yeah.
Oh, dodgy mother.
Yeah. Yeah,
hey, by the way, each of these callers, Roo, getting a ticket in tonight's Powerball for $100 million.
Exactly right. Let's go to McGill. G'day, Craig.
G'day, boys. I love your show. I was in a syndicate in a factory, and there was about 15 blokes who worked there.
Yeah.
And I was the only one out of the 15 who noticed on the cross lotto ticket the draw number was different to the tickets that he was presenting. And so one lunchtime, we were all in the locker room, and, well, I used my football skills to reprimand him.
What did you do? Clean him up?
Yep. And they called me up into the office and said, oh, Craig, come up into the office. What happened? And I told him, I said, oh, he's been ripping us off with the cross lotto. Yeah. But I think the management were involved in it as well. They knew.
Yeah.
But I didn't lose my job over it. Right. But I didn't go into the cross lotto again.
Yeah. And how did the bloke who ripped everyone off, how did he end up?
Pretty quiet.
Sometimes you've got to take the law in your own hands.
Yeah, exactly.
Well,
right.
Yeah, exactly right. And I ended up taking the company to the Industrial Commission over another incident, but it was just a reflection of what they were like.
Doesn't sound too good, Craig. You got a free Powerball ticket for tonight anyway, mate, for sharing that story.
Yeah.
Thanks very much, Ruined It.
That's right, Craig. Hey, by the way, Craig, if you win, you're going to give us 50%. No, only joking.
Check the draw number,
good
Craig.
Luck to everyone tonight who goes out and buys a ticket too. Half the winners, Dits, come from Victoria. I reckon we're due to win one in South Australia.
Yeah.
Come on.
If half come from there, we're a 50-50 chance.
Yeah, that's right.
7:14, Ruined It's here on Triple M. Roo, you mentioned this morning that Walmart are coming to Australia.
Yep.
I just want to, before we discuss this, just want to play a little grab of a farmer. This is online at the moment.
I've just received my milk check for this month. I worked for $2.46 an hour. Something's got to change. People can't expect farmers to continually work. That's basically slavery. Thanks, Coles and Woolies. $2.46 an hour.
Now, The reason we're playing that grab right now is with Walmart coming, I'm wondering, Roo, does that mean that you and I, the consumer, are now going to get things even cheaper at the supermarket? Does it mean Coles, Woolies, Foodland, and all these people are saying, well, we've already got Aldi here, now yep. Walmart are coming. We know in South Australia a mob called Corfland are coming. Mm. Does it force prices down even further, which for us means cheap groceries, well, but for the farmer, he can't cope?
It'll definitely mean cheaper prices. We're already seeing that at the moment, but what is it at the expense of? That's the big question. And there's many other questions we're going to ask finance expert from Channel 9, Ross Greenwood, who joins us now. Good morning, Ross.
Rudy, good morning to you both. Yeah, it's big, isn't it? I mean, say something like Walmart. Now, it's speculation as to whether they're coming here or not, but there's a few little pieces you can put together. Number one is that Wesfarmers owns Bunnings, owns Target, owns Kmart, and owns Coles.
Yep.
Now, what it's doing is it's splitting off Coles into a separate business that will be listed on the stock exchange. Part of the reason for that is that Coles doesn't perform as well as any of those other businesses, perhaps with the exception of Target, which is a bit of a basket case.
Yep.
But leave that aside, Coles becomes its own separate business on the stock market, which means anybody could walk in, you could do it, I could do it, or Walmart could walk in and buy shares in that business. So that's one. Number two, in the UK, Walmart, which is the biggest supermarket retailer in America and in the world, basically said they had a business there called Asda, which was cheap and cheerful but big. They merged with Sainsbury, which is one of the other big supermarket groups over there.
Mm.
And so as a result, now Walmart's got plenty of money in its pocket as well.
Yep.
The suggestion has always been that it would eye off Australia and one of our big supermarket groups here. So it's got the choice, Woolworths or Coles.
Yep.
The second part, the final part about this puzzle is that the boss of Walmart in America is a bloke called called Greg Foran.
Yep.
Greg Foran used to be number two at Woolworths in Australia.
Mm-hmm.
He left, became a big success in Asia, then went and ended up running all the supermarkets for Walmart in America. Oddly enough, his son Kieran Foran is a red-hot rugby player, a New Zealander, in the NRL, red-hot rugby player. Anyway, so Greg Foran knows the Australian market like none other. Coles now becomes open and potentially available. And guess what? You'd have to think all of that bit of anecdotal evidence would suggest that maybe Walmart would at least be looking very closely at Australia, if not thinking about buying in here.
All right. Is this going to be good for Australian people in many ways? Let's talk. Obviously, we think, probably all agree, that price would further competition on price, which would that mean further competition for the farmers in terms of screwing them? And is it a bad thing that we'll have an international company like Walmart taking profits out of Australia?
Well, as you pointed out, have a look at what you've already got. You've got Coles, Woolworths, you've got Aldi. Aldi is growing fast, and Aldi is the biggest influence on your supermarket prices in Australia, there is no doubt. And the way in which Aldi does that is it basically makes a whole bunch of generic brands that it puts under its own brand, puts it out there, has smaller supermarkets, less on the shelves, more focus on price, keeping the prices down. And that's the reason why the big supermarkets have had to try and compete with Aldi and try and keep up with them. Now, you know, the interesting thing is if you get other players in, you mentioned Corfland. Corfland is as big in Europe as what Aldi is. They're coming to Australia, coming to South Australia. And the whole point about this is that they are going to bring even more pressure onto the big supermarket chains. So again, competition brings down prices. If prices are being squeezed, margins are being squeezed at supermarkets, they'll try and squeeze their suppliers, potentially including farmers. Now, the problem for farmers right now is if they're in drought in New South Wales or Queensland, they've got real problems in getting enough stock out there to the supermarkets.
Yep.
And it means that farmers like this bloke are basically getting paid $2.46 an hour as he was, which is really sad.
Yep.
But unfortunately, that's just the nature of what happens when you're in the middle of a drought as well.
Yep.
Yeah, for sure. Ross, thanks so much for joining us, as always. Ross Greenwood, Channel 9 finance editor, and he's all over it. And, geez, some great anecdotal evidence there of what's going on, too.
It sounds exactly like Coles are getting ready to be shipped off, I think. I'm not sure about this, Ditz. Do we want international companies coming in like this, buying, you know, all our stores, taking profits from consumers, Australian consumers, at the expense of farmers and shipping the profits back overseas?
Don't think so.
I don't want it. I'm a bit with Dick Smith on this one. I know we've got to have some stuff from overseas coming in. I know we've got to have some competition, but when's enough enough?
It's got to be balanced and there's got to be common sense.
I think there's got to be balance. We can't be screwing primary producers to the bone. And I know there's droughts on. I know there can be reasons why some people get 246 an hour and some people make lots of others. But do we want to be... do we want to be shipping money overseas to Walmart owners?
Don't think so.
Or to Audi owners?
No.
I'd rather have it in, you know, to the local, you know, Romeos or Drakes or people that stay in Australia and or even Coles and Woolies who are shareholders. At least most of them are Australian people, and the money goes back into super funds and stuff like that. I don't know. I don't think we should be doing it. What does everyone else out there think? 1-333-53. Give us a buzz now. Do you want people like Walmart and Kaufland and Audi and everyone else who's going to come here?
And wouldn't you say that what OTR have done here in South Australia, I mean, how successful have they been? And obviously employing local people, but then they build a track like they've done at Tail and Bend. Now, you could say, oh, but that's a private enterprise thing. That's for them. But it's actually investing back into our state. We've now got a motor race on at the end of August at their racetrack. I think that isn't that a great thing for South Australia? I mean, not all of us are into motorsport, but you know what I'm saying.
It doesn't matter. It flows into the local in South Australia, pubs and businesses in the area there, and there's plenty of flow-on effects of that. Yep. So they're employing plenty of people. So give us a call right now, 1-333-53. Let's go to, I think it's Surrey Downs. G'day, Dominic. Hey, Dominic.
Rude dip. How you going?
Good, Dominic.
Seaview Downs.
That's all right.
If Walmart comes to Australia, well, you heard the farmer complain that Coles and Woolies are only paying him $2, whatever. And the first thing you guys say, not that you're defending him, but the first thing you guys say is that Walmart will be taking profit from Woolies and Coles. What about all the small independents, all the small retail owners? That will be gone within 5 years, 10 years, whenever Walmart comes in.
No, we're with you, mate.
They can't compete with those prices.
Yep. No, we're on your
worried,
side.
I'm not worried about Coles and Woolies. I'm worried about everyone here, Dominic. That's why we're throwing it out there.
All these small businesses, you take these. If we have to close down, because I own Carousel Fruit and Veg down at Marion Shopping Centre, if we all close down, the Australian economy will not survive on just supermarkets.
No.
And two of the biggest supermarkets, Aldi and Walmart, the money doesn't even stay here.
Yep, and you can throw Costco into that too. I forgot about them. They're another one.
Exactly. No, we're heading right where America was 10 years ago when they went down the gurgler. Australia is heading in the same direction, guaranteed.
Yeah.
Nah, we're with you, Dominic. We're on your side, no doubt about that.
Yeah, I spoke to a mate of mine who's shutting a fruit and veg shop down. It's just too hard. The costs are too hard to make a dollar. Let's go to Yankalilla. G'day, Wes.
Yeah, you go, fellas. There you go.
Good, thanks, Wes.
That's good. I just came back from the States, and I'm a dairy farmer down here at Yankalilla, and I went into a Walmart store. If you're always interested to see what the price is. They're selling their home brand milk for $2.18 a gallon, which equates to about 57 cents US.
That's 4.5 litres for what? $2 something?
$2.18. It's actually 3.86, I think, US imperial gallon or whatever it is. It seems specific. But it's about 75 cents Australian. So that's 25 cents where the dollar a litre milk is now below.
So what does it cost you to make a litre of milk? What does it cost you, Wes?
Our operation is around that 38 to 42 cents.
Yeah.
This year with the the drought on our doorstep and the rise in feed costs, we'll add another 8 to 10 cents a litre on top of that.
Yeah.
And we can't get that out of the marketplace. We've got to wear it somehow. And there will be some farmers that will go by the wayside that can't wear that extra cost.
So who do you sell milk to?
We supply a company called Beston's Pure Foods.
Yep.
At Murray Bridge and Jervois.
They make cheese, don't they?
They make cheese and the best cheese going around. It's fantastic and very tasty. And they're basically a fledgling company. They've only been operating a couple of years in the marketplace. We've supplied them for 12 months.
Yep.
And look, they've been the price setters in this state. There's no doubt about that. They've certainly pushed the Paul's and the Pura brand companies quite a bit with pricing. And it's evident. I mean, they're overseas companies owned by overseas places. Yep. they don't really give a shit about the farmers. They'll only pay what they need to just to secure the milk, not what we need to make it viable and going forward.
Yeah, it's got to be a win-win situation, and that's what everyone has to win. Yeah. So we feel for you, Wes, but thanks for your call, and hopefully you can win Powerball with your cross lotto ticket that you just got tonight.
Say good day to Greg Whittlesey down here at Yankalilla.
Yeah, a very emotional topic. It's all our phone lines went chockers there straight away. We've only got time for two right now because Brad Ebert's going to join us very shortly.
Triple M.
Ebert leans back, slots the goal.
On Ruin Dits, it's Port Adelaide's Brad Ebert. For Conway IT, complete IT support and cloud solutions business.
One word, how.
Yes.
How?
Yeah, how what?
Did we lose that game?
Yeah, Dits, that's a really good question, mate. Oh. And, it's disappointing when you're one of the players that was involved in the whole thing. So, boys, it was tough. We're all very disappointed.
Just on that, you say you're one of the players involved, but I'm not here to go into bat for you. You can speak for yourself. But he wasn't your opponent. I know you were there, but was the...
Who are you talking about? McGovern's mark.
When McGovern took the mark.
McGovern.
Yeah, McGovern. Okay. Well, I slid back and tried to cover him. Jonah was trying to call me back to swap, but in the heat of the whole moment, I couldn't actually hear him.
But he'd just ran down there, hadn't he?
He'd run down there, yeah. So it was one of those ones where a bit of chaos ball around it all, and the kick itself coming in was a little bit, dropped a bit shorter than you expect, and all of a sudden
like
he takes the mark.
It's like going back to the Jenkins kick, though. Well, we can sit and say, but what about the other 50 things that went wrong as well?
Yeah.
In the lead up to it, because you did so much right. I said to Rue the other day, I thought Port Adelaide played really well. You know, as a fan, I thought, actually, we're playing well today. And the start was brilliant. 4-1. So there was a lot right about the day.
Oh, certainly.
And even right at the end.
And I guess even right at the last quarter and a half when you're playing with one man on the bench and you've lost, your two key pillars in Ryder and Dixon and you're hanging tough pretty well, and then I guess that last 2 minutes, we probably just didn't adjust to the time of the game and really just make sure that we locked it down a bit better.
I'd normally stir you up, Ebo, here, but I actually understand how heartbreaking it is to go through a loss like that at this time of the season, but also Dixon to break his leg, Ryder to hurt his hip flexor. You go from 1 minute being excited about potentially being in the top four to the next minute going, shit, can we seriously do anything without Dixon and potentially Ryder in the finals? It is heartbreaking, and you've put so much into the season, and it's just a tough bloody game, football, isn't it?
It is a tough game.
When the things are going against you, like they are right now for Port Adelaide, it's not a good place to be, is it?
It's a funny game, isn't it?
It tests you out. It does mentally test you.
Yeah, it does test you. And that's
your resilience.
I look at it as, it's a good opportunity for, the next 2 weeks. We've been in this sort of situation twice in 2 weeks. You can only really look at the positives of the learnings that you can take from being, so close 2 weeks in a row and not being able to get it done. So you really need to be able to make that, that adjustment to then say, all right, we can win these next one if we are in those sort of similar situations.
Serious footy question.
Yeah.
Are you too defensive? You've always got a spare player behind the ball. Do you need to free that up and try and score more? Because you're not scoring much at the moment. It's going to be harder to score without Charlie Dixon, although plenty of sides have done it with a smaller forward line.
Yeah,
are you too defensive minded?
I don't think so. I think that a lot of good teams in the past have been built off strong defense, and that's what we've sort of gone with,
and that's fair enough.
And
too.
Our offense probably hasn't been as attacking as what we'd like, but the thing is, we've actually been playing some good passages of play. We just haven't been able to finish them off, and so I think that we're playing decent footy. We just need to put that 10% on top of and a lot of that is around that finishing.
Is Paddy Ryder going to play on? I know you say maybe, but
I'm not 100% sure.
Does he even look like it? Have you seen him looking even remotely like he could play?
Well, the way he was talking to me yesterday, he was talking about feeling way better, and every day he was like, it's feeling way better than what it was the day before, and so you can only go off that he's going to give it every chance. So we'll see. I think he's probably going to have a run around today, and then assess.
Really. What about Polak? He hasn't trained. He's had scans. He looks like he's walking around all right. Has he done his hammy, or is he a 50-50 at this stage?
I reckon he'd be a 50-50 again, and that's, I think it'll come down to how they go today at training. So that'll be a good test.
Main session today, is it?
So we had the main session yesterday. Those boys will then have their own sort of run to make to test whether they're ready to go.
Evo, I know it's all about the next 2 weeks for now, but I was saying to you the other day, I know why, I'm really excited about the youngsters in the squad. I think moving forward, there is so much talent there.
Oh, definitely, definitely. And that's where we've been able to, you know, hopefully we win these next 2 weeks and we're flying into the finals and going well, and these guys get some really good experience in those games. Mm. And the thing is, yeah, like they have been exposed to some pretty intense sort of situations, so that can only be a positive for those guys as well. And you're looking at AJ coming in and kicking three, and Hustle, although he went down,
Aiden Johnson did a good job on McGovern. I thought it was a very, very clever coaching move. That one, not enough has been spoken about that because of how you lost and all the injuries, but that was a very clever move to put a small player on McGovern.
Yeah.
And no one's spoken about it. I thought that was a masterstroke.
It was, because that's really up until that point, McGovern hadn't had that influence.
Up until he won the game.
Yeah, until he won the game. He hadn't had that same influence so as he normally would. So, yeah, he was really good. And Hustle, although he went down, he was also strong as well.
All right, good on you, Evo. Stay with us now. We've got a special job for Evo in just a moment.
What have you given him? Something?
Well, he's now our special TV critic.
Yes. Well, bachelor correspondent.
We gave him a task.
Have you handed it over because you were doing it last year?
Yeah. Well, as you know, I got fined. My wife charged me, you know, because I was I was eavesdropping on my wife and her friends. It cost me a lot of money.
How much did she spend on that?
Oh, it was a lot.
$550.
No, it was keep going.
Spent on what?
Clothes.
I secretly taped her and her friends watching Bachelor and played it on air, and it cost me a lot of money.
He broke Australian radio law by playing recorded stuff that didn't have her permission. Authorization.
And Roo, I've been told if Helen from Hindley Street rings again, I'll be fined for that as well.
I'll get your bloody card ready, mate, because she'll be calling in.
All right, more with Brad Eben in just a moment. Thanks to Comwire IT.
Triple M. On Ruin Dits, it's Port Adelaide's Brad Ebert.
For Comwire IT, complete IT support and cloud solutions business.
Righto, we gave Brad Ebert a job this week, Roo.
Yes, you have delegated and passed on the baton of the Bachelor debrief for us, Ebo, and you stepped right up. You were very keen.
Oh, boys, well, I watch them all, you know, Bachelor in Paradise and last year's Bachelorette. They were riveting shows, so, you know, I can't wait.
You are going downhill fast in my eyes, I can tell you.
Oh, come on, Roo.
I did actually watch it last night for half
an
hour.
Hang on a second, then I'm back up.
Tell us what you discovered last night with the Honey Badger.
Oh,
who we interviewed here a couple of days
well
ago.
I think we've got a couple of grabs here.
It's time to get sexy. It's time to get sensual. It's time for the Bradshaw Report.
Sounds like the crazy
guys. I have been taking time prepping that. So, yeah, it was a very interesting start. There's so many broad, girls, a lot of personality types. It's going to be really interesting for the badge, and I think there's going to be a couple of winners. me and the badge, we're tight, you know. Now I've watched one episode of it. He's right up there.
How did he go in his first episode? Did he look comfortable?
He was all right. He was pretty funny. Yeah, he was, because I wasn't sure whether it was going to be like a real make or break for him. You know, whether the whole puns and throwing out the cheap sort of comments were going to be, you know, a little bit too much, but he surprised me. It was very funny.
It'd be intimidating being in there with 25 women. I could not handle it at all.
I know. Like, it'd just be rattling, wouldn't it? And you can see.
You give it a go.
You'd be a great you'd go down fighting. Episodes,
hey? You'd be right in there, Dits. You'd be right in there.
It'd be a short series for you.
But that's, you could even see him across the pool and they're just constantly eyes on him. So it was intense.
Like hawks, some of them, like really predators.
Well, there's one that he met already and he'd already had a couple dates with, and I think he might have just moved her on a couple weeks before the show, and then she's gone back into the show and had those eyes. She was really on him.
Not that tall blondie.
I think it might have been.
She was stalking him hard.
She was. But I think there's a couple of ones in there that could be a good chance. I reckon the first one was Shannon. She came in and was really good. She was 25, Victoria. She was a skater girl. Yeah, I reckon she might be up his alley. Yep. There was Sophie, another 25-year-old from Queensland. She was looking pretty good.
All right.
But there's always those ones that you're like, oh, geez, they can't win. They can't win, and they're in there just to, you know.
Stir the pot.
Well, and
the
also
girl
just
that
to
was
get some
talking
talk.
About the ex-girlfriend, she was a shocker, the brownie.
Yeah, she was. Yeah, she was as well.
Can I just interject? How do you know so much about
it? I watched a half an hour of it last night.
No, you didn't. You watched the whole thing.
You know what I did, too? I had my 11-year-old daughter with me watching it, and Joe, who's 8, who's a bit out there, and I was watching them to see if I should be letting them watch it, because these girls on there were like, they were like predators. I said, Sophie, don't you be like that. You can see what this girl's doing, and you know, watch. I'm trying to educate her, and they're glued to it.
Yeah, and there was one that was quite funny. She really caught his eye, but she was young rugby player that said she'd never heard of him, and I was like, hang on a second. What do you think of that, Roo? I don't know any footballers, but I play the whole thing, and I was like, hang on a second. Yeah. So anyway, but there's definitely a couple of ones that are there just to stir the pot, and I think we've got a couple grabs of them here. So
I'm Vanessa.
Wow, Vanessa.
Sunshine.
Oh, fair enough.
I don't think I'm the life of the party. I know that I am. Some people might call it sassy. I just think that it's confidence.
She's beautiful. She is. I just don't know if I should be running or chasing.
Oh, God. Yeah, all right, well, you can do the weekly report
anyway,
for us.
Anyway, so we've got that one and another one. But, yeah, I'll keep coming in next week and beautiful. I'll give you more of a report.
Give us an update on how the badges go.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Look, definitely.
If you could actually focus on Collingwood.
Come on, mate.
What, you got enough bachelor information? Back
for
to Collingwood?
For God's sake. No, I'm going to beat Collingwood this week.
I've had too much fun. We're back to footy. Come on, Dits.
Yeah, come on. You've done your research on the badge. Who are you worried about with Collingwood? They've got a few injuries too.
Yeah, but they've also got a bloody strong side. So it's, they've been in another, they're in a similar situation where, I think they're 1 win ahead of us though. So, but it's a very tight ladder and should be a good challenge. I think Brody Grundy, he's in fine form.
Grundy.
Stevenson.
The young kid up forward.
Yeah, he's been good. He's been
Mason
good.
Mason Cox.
Yeah, he's
like the look of him.
Yeah, it's I guess like the whole American coming in, he's done well for himself. So
starting to look dangerous.
Yeah, he is.
In fact, that's a negative if you take Dougal Howard out of defence. His height would be good on Mason Cox.
On a guy like Mason Cox, yeah, and in Doug's closing speed as well. Quick, he can cover the ground. So we've got ourselves a good challenge, but we're going to keep fighting, boys.
Well, don't forget your boots, mate, when you head over there.
Have you ever done that? Have you ever forgotten your boots?
Oh,
like Rudy?
I haven't forgotten the boots. We've got Alfie, our boot starter, that takes our boots for us and makes sure they're clean.
You don't even take your own boots.
No way, mate. No way. That's Alfie.
Now, this is interesting.
How pathetic.
So, I presume the modern football, you've got your shorts provided, your socks, the Guernsey.
Yep, I've forgotten my jocks
your boots
a couple
ready.
Times.
When you walk in with your bag, I see you walk in there. What's in your bag?
Yeah, not much, mate. Pair of Speedos. That's about it.
You're going out gear.
It's not like the old days, Roo.
You see, you're getting your bum wiped too much for you. Bring your own towel. Bring your own socks. Bring your own boots. Bring your own shorts. Wow. Bring your own jumper.
But
no, you're not the jumper.
Alfie's been there for 60 years. Oh, he did it with my grandpa.
He'd be a little hunchback from carrying all your boots.
Alfie Trebulco.
Yeah, Alfie Trebulco. He's been a legend of our club. So he loves doing it. We love him.
All right. Good on you, Evo. Good luck against Collingwood.
Hey, thanks very much, guys.
Good on you, mate.
And good report on The Bachelor. Brad Ebert joins us thanks to Comwire IT.
Not far from Jimmy Barnes joining us.
Ladies, ruined dits for breakfast on Triple M.
We thought you girls were sugar and spice and all things nice.
Ruined dits, angels.
Good morning, angels.
Good morning, ruined dits.
Alice the Wag, Batesy, who's about to marry the war hero, and Susan, mother of four, our brand new recruit.
Yeah.
What have you got for us, Roo?
There are some interesting topics. The Bachelor was out last night for the first time. What do you think of the honey badger, girls? Do you like him, Susan? Has he got something about him? You like his curly hair?
No, I have to say he's definitely not my type.
He's not your type?
No.
What don't you like about him?
I think maybe under all that hair there might be something there, but great body. He seems like a nice guy, but no. Just
not doing it for you?
He doesn't, the look just doesn't do it for me.
Okay, don't like
him. He's no Tim from series one.
Right,
Batesy. Tim.
I have to admit, curly hair on guys freaks me out a little bit.
Freaks you out?
There's just something off about it.
I thought curls get the girls.
No, he's no Sam Wood. That's
who's
like
Sam
my
Wood?
Sam
Wood?
Was the batch 2 seasons ago.
Oh, see,
or
we
last
don't.
Season?
I got to start watching.
No, that's last year's model, Batesy. That's in the past.
I'm actually so glad you asked me because last night Joel got home from footy and I was like, I'm watching this for work. I'm doing research. And now I can actually say
that's true.
So I actually quite like the honey badger because I'm into personality and I like all these little.
Batesy, personality's everything. It's not about looks.
I know.
He's got a great personality.
I just don't like his mum moustache. if he shaved that off.
Oh, you'd be able to change him, don't worry. If you got hold of him, you'd be able to change him like all you girls try to do. Yeah. Just try and
I would never.
Twist us into something that you want rather than who we are.
Yeah, 100%.
You're so full of
that's what happens,
oh Ditch,
doesn't it?
Yeah. Like, go out, yeah. Oh, no. Go out. Oh, he's a character. That bloke at the footy club I've met, he's a real character. I like him. And then you marry and they go, you're not going to the footy club anymore. And you're going to be home early.
You're not going
and,
to the pub
you're not going out with your mates on weekends after footy.
And betting on the horses, we can spend that on something else. What are you doing? Yeah. Anyway.
No, but it's fine, Ditz. If you want to tell Kate she has to wear short skirts and, you know, not cut her hair. But
I'm just helping her.
Hypocrite, right. That's what you are.
So what do you think about The Bachelor, Wake? Is it going to be a good series?
I'm already addicted, but Joel won't let me watch it now, so I have to record it and watch it during the day. But I love it. I just love they've deliberately put some girls in there that are just a bit cuckoo just to really stir the pot.
Yeah. That's just normal.
that's just a good snapshot of
nothing deliberate about that.
Hey, what about this? Is a good one, and Susan, you'll be all over this. But there's a story out about how Aussie mums are spending a fortune on kids' birthday parties to try and keep up with the Joneses, so to speak, and to try and put stuff on Instagram and all the social media so they look like they're the best mum in the world and they're loaded and they're happy and they're just, you know, knocking everything out of the park for six.
It's all about image.
Yes. This is happening, Susan, isn't it?
100%. I have to say I'm guilty of doing it myself.
No!
I don't know why.
Good
I do
honesty.
It,
but, you don't do it for Instagram, do you?
No, not at all. I think you just want to be people a good to come mom. And have a good time. And I think you're trying to come up with ideas that, you know, you go to that many birthday parties. There was like four kids' birthday parties last weekend.
Wow.
And, you know,
so
you're
you
trying
had to go
to
four different birthday parties in a weekend.
Yep. Some of them are drop off and pick up now, so that's not too bad. But it takes a lot of your weekend out.
Susan, how old are your kids?
3, 5, 7, and 9.
Gee, that's busy.
Wow.
And what are the rules in your house? Do each of them get a birthday party every year, or do you alternate, or how do you do it?
I probably pulled the reins back a little bit now as I've had more children, but definitely first
poor
birthday
old
party.
Fourth kid. He don't even get his nappy changed for about 3 days.
Yeah.
He'll be right. No, he's all late for
Yeah, definitely first birthday parties, christenings and things like that, just way over the top. You look back now and you think, God, I spent so much money on that. It's ridiculous, but... Mm. We've pulled the reins back a bit now, and we kind of a bit sort of selective with who we invite and that sort of thing. So you can, but I've also got a lot of people that help me with catering and that sort of thing. So pretty lucky in that sense.
Batesy, you'll go hard on first birthday party, won't you? I can see it already.
I have to admit, my dog turns one next month, and I'm already thinking
dog.
About.
you're comparing your dog
she
to a kid.
She is my firstborn. Thinking about what I'm going to do.
What are you going to do for your dog's birthday?
Well, there's these edible cakes for dogs, but then I'm like, am I really going to be that person? And I've genuinely been toying it up for 2 weeks.
The fact that you're thinking about it means you're more than halfway there.
It means I already am that person. I know.
She puts her dog in daycare.
Yeah.
I know, I've already had guts full of people.
What?
Like,
what do they do at doggy daycare, seriously?
Well, they play with each other. She gets to socialise, and then I get photos throughout the day.
Sprayed with fragrances and everything.
Yeah.
Oh, no, that's fine.
It's really good. She goes like twice a week.
Right.
I've got too much guilt. You've got too much guilt.
Rude, do you know what I do with my dog? We watch the greyhounds. He loves it. We watch the dog.
Billy, you can be like that.
Yeah, Billy, you Billy can, race you two at Angle like Park that, coming right. up. Hang on.
He's going to win, Billy. Ask
Need
him.
To get on.
Ask him, Bill. Wag, are you going to be an Insta mum?
No, but it's actually not just happening at kids' birthday parties. It's like hens parties, it's baby showers, and people are just spending so much money on like photo walls. And I went to a hens party the other day, and they got personalised balloons with the girl's name printed on them with like sparkles inside, and personalised cookies. And then they had a stripper come out, and he didn't take his jocks off, and I was like, what is this? And they said, oh, it costs extra for that. I was like, well, I would much rather him take his jocks off than eat a personalised cookie. But they're like, but they look so cute on Instagram.
I've got the priorities wrong. Oh,
seriously, hens is about having fun and having a few drinks and having a stripper. It's not about the photos on Instagram.
No, you're dead right.
Yeah.
Don't take advice from the web.
don't be tight with strippers. All right?
That's what we take out of that.
As a kid, it looked to me like everything was falling down. I was born at home in a kitchen.
and I weighed 14 pounds. There was my mum on her knees, screaming at the floor. My granny's walking around, screaming at her. And then I came into the world, screaming. I've been doing it ever since.
Oh, Roo, Jimmy Barnes. There's only one Jimmy Barnes, no doubt about that. Such an important part of Triple M and the Australian way of life, isn't it? He's an icon. And to think that it's almost like a new lease of life. This book that he brought out last year or a couple of years ago, Working Class Boy, number one for 16 weeks in Australia. Now it's a documentary. He joined us. Jimmy Barnes, good morning.
Hi, team. How are we?
Gee, 14 pounds, Jimmy. You're a heavyweight.
I know, isn't that disgusting?
You're a heavyweight. Really?
Yeah. I slapped the doctor. No, I was born in the kitchen at home. My granny delivered me.
So wow, and screaming ever since. Yeah. Amazing stuff. And now it's a documentary that's out in cinemas on August the 23rd.
Yep.
What are we going to see in the doco that we haven't heard about before, Jimmy?
Well, you know, I spoke to... When I wrote the book, there was a lot of people coming around going, oh, let's make a telly movie, let's do this, you know. And the last thing I wanted to do was have a bunch of actors, you know, dramatizing and picking the eyes out and glorifying all the wrong things. This book was very important to me. So I spoke to a dear friend of mine, Mark Joffe, who's a great director, and we decided we wanted to tell the story of the book, and we wanted to have warts and all, but we wanted to, you know, to talk about the emotion, talk about the fear that we felt in that story. So the movie, although the story is very dark, you know, I came, like anybody else hasn't read the book, I came from a very tough childhood, a lot of poverty, a lot of violence, abuse, and all that sort of stuff. And it's my journey through that, trying to get out of it, trying to survive it. Along the way, throughout the documentary, we make some great music. You know, that music was something that sort of saved me all the way through my life, and especially, you know, later on when I joined a band. But even as a child, music saved me. So the thing is, the story is sort of the songs sometimes break the and make release from the tension of the, yep. of the stories, but sometimes the songs actually add to the tension of the stories. I think it's been very well done. All the promoters have been out, people, it's been very well received, but it's a tough story to tell, and to do it in public is very tough.
Jimmy, you talk about, you know, what a tough story to tell. I've been amazed at the people that have said to me they read your book. And what I mean by that
is
people that aren't into rock and roll. I'm talking older people. And you know what I mean? That people in their 70s that have sort of, you know, shared with us that, oh, I read Jimmy's book. It was unbelievable. So it's something you must be incredibly proud of, that you've actually touched so many people with it. And as I said, to be, you know, a bestseller, number one for 16 weeks in Australia is just phenomenal.
Oh, listen, I didn't expect any of that. I mean... But one thing I did notice as soon as the book came out, that I started getting contact by a lot of people who, like you say, from different walks of life, but they had similar upbringings, whether they knew people who had upbringings, their parents had upbringings like that, they lived degrees of it. We share a common life, you know, folks. We're all, doesn't matter whether you're a rock star or a mechanic, you know, you all share the same things.
Yep.
We're all trying to do, we all have the same hopes, dreams, and aspirations. We're trying to do the best we have with what, you know, we can with what we have. But sometimes that goes out of skew. And with my parents, you know, they had major alcohol problems when, you know, and not to mention just upbringing problems themselves. So when they tried to do their best, and you know, we literally lived in danger, and it was frightening. We were abused and, you know, hungry, and all the things, the thing that I realized, and there's a few things, but one of them I realized, all that abuse and violence and you know, being hungry and not knowing where you're going to go next, led me, you know, it all helped make me who I am, and it helped make me a tenacious, you know, bastard that I am. It helped make me a better singer, because, you know, I had a lot of pain and a lot of anger and a lot of fear and a lot of love to find. So all that worked for me, but it also I look at the book and it sort of touched a lot of people's lives, because a lot of people lived through violence, and you know, lots of my friends in Adelaide, I've talked about it, living in Elizabeth in Adelaide, you know, there was a lot of people who were much worse off than us, you know, it's not like we were something special.
Well, we look forward to this, Jimmy. August the 23rd, it's in cinemas. It's called Jimmy Barnes, Working Class Boy. Just before you go, Barnes, you took a bit of a tumble on stage on the weekend. I read about it online, and you can't have been in too bad a state, because you were still having a bit of fun. You fell off the stage, but you said, it's only a stage I'm going through in life, which got a laugh out of me.
Oh, yeah, well, you know, because I fell through
stages at 62, sure.
No, but you know what? I used to fall off when I was drunk. No, it wasn't this time. I was walking. It was a country stage doing a show, and it wasn't lit, and there was a big hole in it that nobody told us about. And I walked across, and I fell down, one leg down this thing right up to my top of my thigh, and it ripped all my muscle, you know, cut through my body, big gash in my leg, done my knee, and so I had to laugh because I was only halfway through the show, so I had
did
to
you finish
up,
it.
Yeah, of course I did. Mm-hmm. And I got up there, and I was like cursing and trying to walk it off so it wasn't in so much pain, and the audience were looking at me, and I said, lucky I scream anyway.
How's the stage manager going? Is he still alive or not?
No. Listen, they when I came off stage, they were all gone. They were mortified. You know, they haven't rang me since. They haven't found out how I was. They were shattered. They all try to put on a good show.
Yeah,
Listen, it was at the Mount Isa Rodeo, and like I'd started doing my act at sort of sundown. The last act in the rodeo was a guy bull riding, and he got both his legs broken. So I reckon I got off lucky.
So the stretcher was already being used.
So they would have had an ambulance there. I was fine. The other good thing I just want to plug, guys, is the soundtrack and the album that's come out for the Working Class Boy soundtrack is really good, because I've done a lot of great things that you can see in the film, and including this great track with the Australian Chamber Orchestra. But all the money from that goes to drought relief. So, it'd be good if anybody wants to get out and get some good music and help the drought. It'd be a,
Yep, well done. You will play a bit of it on Triple M, no doubt about that. Jimmy, thanks so much for talking to us, and you should be so proud of everything that you've achieved over the last couple of years. It's Working Class Boy, the documentary, and it's in cinemas August 23. Jimmy Barnes, thanks for joining us.
The Ruin Dits catch-up for the Hospital Research Home Lottery. $2.9 million grand prize. Visit homelottery.com.au. 104.7 Triple M.